Hey man, how is it going?
Ooh.
Man, you know what? Branson on a Friday afternoon is a little bit on the silly side. Yep. Cut right through here. My GPS today has decided that I want to go on an adventure. Apparently, because I've not been through this part of Branson before, and I'm not complaining. It's new stuff, man. You know, I like it. Oh, look at all these RVs, motorhomes. What is this? A Pinnacle, a Prowler Regal. That's a fifth wheel. I don't think I want a fifth wheel. I gotta have a special vehicle for something like that. I want a travel trailer that I believe that's the word. A travel trailer is smaller than a fifth wheel, and it's got a regular trailer hitch on it instead of a fifth wheel that's got that big up top that's got to connect in the bed of your truck. Yeah, I don't think I want that. You'd have to have a special vehicle for that, and I don't want to have to get a special vehicle. I just want a regular vehicle. A regular truck would be great. And a motorhome. And like get a motorhome that's got a trailer hitch on it, and put the fifth wheel or the travel trailer onto that. And then, you know, by the time this is something affordable for me, I'll have a couple of kids that can drive. Just go. So speaking of kids, I wanted to try and air out some stuff that the kids can do to become more prepared. To try and stick children into, you know, most of the stuff that I talk about, whether it be preparedness or minimalism or a nomadic lifestyle. What can we do to I want to say make things better, more comfortable, more enjoyable. Okay. So right off the bat, I mean, as far as being a prepper, just start out at the basics. Okay, go camping. Camp out in the backyard. Okay, you've got everything that you would really need in your house anyway. Okay, go out in the backyard and set up the tent. Okay, now. After you've set up the tent, get inside the tent. What do you need now? And for me, depending on the weather, I'm worried about bed. depending on the weather, depends on how many blankets I need. More than likely, like right now, tonight, if I were to go camping tonight, all I would need is my air mat. Okay. It's going to be ugly hot at night. And I don't want to have anything to do with any blankets. The end. Good night. Now, you know, just a basic camping trip. Nothing fancy, no hiking in and hiking out. Just, you know, either camping out in the backyard or going to an established, like a state park, established camping area. Okay. Probably best place to practice in your backyard. Okay. Now, you've got your tent set up, you've got your bed more or less squared away, ready to go. And now what do you need? Okay, food. Are you hungry? What are we eating tonight? You know, food's a funny one. Because I'll eat some stuff that my kids won't eat. My kids will eat some stuff that I won't eat. Okay. I'll share a little bit with you. A year ago, we went on a hike. Me and my five oldest sons. Okay? We went on a hike. And this hike, I've mentioned it before, the Wilderness Trail at Merrimack State Park in Sullivan, Missouri, near where I used to live. I've wanted to do this trail forever and ever. Okay? It's a long hike. It's an 8 mile loop, or it's a 10 mile figure eight. Okay, there's a trail that, you know, kind of halfway through the one side, it cuts across to the other side. Okay, and you can cut that top half off, and I think it's 4 miles. Is that loop? Or you can do the figure eight and do the whole 10. And the plan was, okay, the first attempt that I did this trail was the weekend of my birthday last year. My 40th birthday present was I got to go hike around with my oldest son. Not my oldest son, my oldest biological son. And me and him, we hit a couple of trails. We hung out, we did, you know, we throw rocks in the water and watch the birds, and we were just out there, and I enjoyed it intensely. It was such an amazing thing. It was very awesome for me. Okay. We camped out that night in the van, and the next morning I knew that if we got an early start, like started at sunrise, that 10 miles, you know, it might take, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, depending on, you know, the conditions and weather and, you know, whatnot. But I wanted to do this trail. I'm doing this thing. What is this guy doing? He is all kinds of crazy. Weirdo, what's up? Man, I'm sorry. I needed to focus on that guy driving because apparently he wasn't. We got up super early and attempted to attack this trail. And they've got backpacker campsites, primitive. Just a fire ring, and around the fire ring there's some logs to sit on, well, the one did. And we didn't make it a mile into the thing. And he wanted to turn around and leave. Like, are you sure? Are you positive? I mean, that's why we camped out tonight, so that we could be here bright and early and do this trail tonight. Today. He wanted to go home. Like, man, you know, I don't want to force the kid into going. Okay? So we turned around and went home. Then about a month later, I got a second attempt. Okay? There was nothing going on that day. And I got it all planned out. My wife went out of town and took the two youngest with her and left me with the rest. And we went Sunday morning. Got up pretty early, had a big breakfast, Pop-Tarts, eggs, bacon. We were ready to go. We get there and we start. You know, we tear into it, and we didn't make it 2.5 miles, and everybody starts screaming and crying about wanting to turn around and go home. I was like, no, 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 no. But see, the plan was we'd eat breakfast at home, and we bring lunch with us. We bring two meals with us, just in case. Okay, my wife, she went to her mom's house, where we live now. And she went down Friday night and was coming back Sunday night. And there, you know, there wasn't anything going on at all. So, you know, it wasn't like we had to rush home and hurry up, that kind of thing. And we could screw around and practice primitive skills and friction fire and whatnot, whatever. And I was like, we're gonna bring two meals just in case, you know, we get stuck out there a little too long. And we can make up another meal. Okay, so each boy had a backpack, each boy had a pot, each boy had a meal. Okay. And come to think of it, there was only the four boys. Because the next youngest boy, he's not really a nature boy kind of guy, you know? More of an inside and watch TV, video games kind of kid. He sports it up a little bit, you know, but not, I don't think he's much of a, he's not much of a survivalist. But yeah, we went out into the woods, and I was like, okay, we'll turn around and we'll go back, but I'm hungry. We're gonna eat. And there's, you know, I think there's like 6 or 7 or 8 of these little primitive campsites for backpackers to put, you know, there's plenty of room set up, tents and hammocks and all that jazz. And I was like, well, let's build a fire. Let's cook our lunches. And eat our lunch and relax and sit here and just enjoy it as much as we can. Because we were getting eaten alive by bugs and ticks. And, you know, we brought an extra bottle of water to cook up our lunch. We brought those Knorr sides, pasta and rice stuff, you know, those side dishes and stuff. We got the ones that you wouldn't have to add milk or anything. Just all you needed was pour a couple or two of water in there and cook them up, and you're ready to go. And we had, you know, 7 or 8 different kinds of those things in our backpack. So I brought plenty of extra food for a just-in-case kind of moment. But, you know, it was... We just threw our pots on the fire and cooked them up and ate them. And we're just sitting there enjoying the scenery, the nature. Just, you know, we were surrounded by forest. And nothing else around. Me, my boys, just hanging out, staring at the trees. And it was amazing. And I asked my boys, like, what do you guys think about living like this? I got mixed reviews, of course. So I know a completely primitive lifestyle probably not gonna set well with my entire family. But going out on a hike, going camping every so often, you know, probably very early spring, very early winter, would probably be best for my kids and my family as a whole, just because it's miserable hot right now. The heat index went up above 100 today, and I couldn't imagine being out in the woods with full pack, up and down the hills, and da 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 da. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm a nature boy, but I don't want to do that. Okay. Okay, so, you know, that, get back to the backyard camping scenario. To have, you know, practice it up a couple of times in the backyard. Set up the tent. Set up the sleeping situation. I'm a big fan of the idea that you can't be too comfortable. Okay, so if you are driving to a campsite and you've got all of your stuff packed up, you know, you've got the the things that you think that you need, and you've got a little bit of extra space left over, pile in some pillows, some extra blankets, extra bed stuff. Because for me, I know that if I slept on the ground tonight in the morning, I am going to be angry. Okay? To lay on the ground and have the earth suck the life and comfort right out of you is... it's not such a big deal to lay down on the ground for a little while and stretch out and relax, but, you know, eventually, you know, the blood's gonna pool and you're gonna be sore and you're not gonna be happy and you're gonna hate tomorrow. Okay, so if that's your situation, you're driving to a campsite and you've got extra room, put some soft stuff in the open areas. Okay, we've got extra chair cushions for the outside furniture, and they're just long enough for me to be able to lay down on them and just a little bit farther down from my knee hangs off the edge. Okay, and for me, that's fine. That it's soft. It's cushioning all of the most important areas, and I'm good. Okay, that's enough for me. Okay, some people a little more prone to pain laying on the ground, bring some more stuff. Bring some more soft stuff that cushions between you and the ground. Okay, because the next day you wake up sore, you're gonna hate camping tomorrow, and you're never ever gonna wanna do it again. And you know, that's what I try to tell my kids. You know, I want you guys to want to do this again. So tell me what it is that you need. Okay, we practice out in the backyard. Tell me what it is that you need. What went wrong last night? If anything went wrong last night, tell me what it is. Because my goal is eventually to get them to want to do an overnighter or a weekender. Like go out on a long weekend. Go Friday night and sleep in the car. And then the next morning, get up and hit the trail. Okay, get up and hit that trail, and just hike. And then get to the campsite, set up camp, eat some food, relax, tell stories. You know. And go to bed. Wake up the next morning and be comfortable. Be not sore, you know, and trying to get the situation to where it's as minimal as possible. Hey. My boys are pretty hardy and resilient. And they sleep on the floor in their room a lot. My one son, he almost exclusively sleeps on the floor. Like, buddy, you've got a bed. Get up in the bed and go to sleep. But I want to sleep here. Like, just get up in your bed and go to sleep. wake up the next morning and he's laying on the floor. And so if, you know, if he wants to go camping and, you know, he wants to be as primitive as possible, I'm pretty sure we're not going to have to worry about him bringing along a cushion or anything like that. Oh, look at the deer. Hello, pretty deer. But yeah, practice it up in the backyard. What went wrong last night that we can fix now and not have to worry about once we're away from the house? You're not bringing enough food. Is there not enough blankets? Is it what is it? What's missing? Let me know. Tell me. And then practice it up a couple more times before, you know, what can we do to minimize it even further? Because I, you know, we did this at a 10-man tent. Okay? This 10-man tent and my 4-man dome tent and my bug screen canopy thingy, they all fit in one of those big totes that's got the little rollers on the underside of the one end, okay? And then that tote fits in the back of the van. And there's plenty more room. And so I can load down my 7-passenger van in the back cargo area full of camping stuff. Plus all the cushiony stuff that we would need. So it's not that big of a deal to bring along a few extra blankets, an extra pillow or whatever, but to go out on the trail and do this, to be prepared to be a backpacker, or to be prepared to to be prepared to bug out, yes. Okay. To load up on your back a heavy amount of stuff. And then from there, reduce it down and say, okay, look, we don't need this thing if we own this primitive skill. We don't have to bring this thing if we upgrade to a more backpacker style of thing. Okay, there's lots of ways of cutting corners and dropping weight, and you know, ounces count. You know, especially once you get 40 and up. Ounces count, man. You sit there and say, well, you know what, it's not that big of a deal, that extra pound, whatever. But 8 hours later and, you know, five, six, seven, 8 miles and 7 or 8 hours later, it counts. It does. It really, really does. And if you can shave ounces off, if you can shave pounds off, then awesome. I personally want to adapt my bug out plan and mesh it with my hiking plan. Like I want my long-term camping hiking set up to be my bug out plan. And I also want it to be my nomad plan. I really think that would be awesome to be able to pack up and head on out and go to the Appalachian Trail and go from one end to the other. And whenever it's over, go to the Pacific Crest Trail and go from one end to the other. And then the Ozark Trail and all the other little trails in between. And live off, you know, live off the land, plus, you know, live off of that little bit of money that Steemit's getting me, you know, the online money. Sponsorship monies. I'm, like I said, I love my Condor Hudson Bay knife, but if, you know, if K-Bar decided that they wanted to sponsor me and give me a couple of free knives, and one of them's mine and the other one is one that I get to beat the crap out of out on the trail, then, yeah, all right. You know, sponsor me with a little bit of money and a little bit of gear. And depending on how the one holds up, yeah, man, if it outperforms my Condor, then, you know, I gotta. You know, I don't want to have to carry two really good knives, so maybe I hand one down to my son or my daughter. Kids to be preppers. Okay? Skills. Skills, skills, skills. Knowledge weighs nothing. Okay? You can develop a skill and then you can lose a skill. Develop muscle memory. And if you don't use that skill, you lose that muscle memory. Pathways in your brain don't fire in that way anymore. It's not as easy as saying, well, it's like riding a bicycle. Okay, you know, that applies to people that rode bicycles as kids all the time. Okay, if you were a kid and you had a bike, and from 5 years old to 15 years old, you rode a bike pretty much every single day, you could use that phrase just like riding a bicycle, because you've burned that pathway into your brain, you've burned that pathway into your muscle memory. You're going to be able to hop onto a bike 30 years later and be able to ride a bike. That's me. Hey, my kid's got a bike. I hopped onto the bike and rode away and went home. Now I've got my bike. And you know, and it was like riding a bicycle. Got on the bike, I sat on the seat, gave myself a little push off, and started pedaling. Now, the bike was way too small for me, but, you know, that muscle memory is there. Just get on it, get going, start pedaling, and find your balance. to develop the skills. Like me, I'm trying to teach myself these primitive skills. Okay? To be able to go out there and create friction fire. Bow drill, hand drill, whatever. DeWalt drill. Once I develop that skill, once I own it, and I'm teaching my kids, once I you know, I've seen it, okay, and then I do it, and then I teach it, that's my skill. Okay. Now, what level my skill is at is a whole other game. Okay. I know, you know, once I find out that I can create friction fire, that I've got that ability, then, you know, I own that skill, but I'm, you know, at step one, you know, at level one, there's no way that I can compare myself to someone like Cody Lundin or Matt Graham. Okay, those are the two big primitive skills names that I know. Okay. But their level of skill, at level one, I can't say that I'm at their level just because I know how to do friction fire. I would never ever say that. If in a survival situation and I'm still at level one and they said, "Hey Rich, do you know how to do friction fire?" Like, I've done it before. Okay. At level one, I'm not comfortable enough to say, "Yes, I can make friction fire." Okay. I want to be able to place my own doubts in my answer. I've done it before. So develop the skills. What about let's see. What about gear? Okay. What? I don't think that there is a particular age that is, you know, that point, like, okay, you're 10 now, and because you're 10, I'm going to give you a pocket knife. Okay, because, like, my 6-year-old sometimes is way more mature than I am. And I have several knives, and he has zero. Okay, so it's not an age thing. It's a maturity level. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, you have to be of a particular age to buy particular weapons, firearms. Okay. Like I said, some of my children are far more mature than a lot of adults that I've met. So, go figure, huh? But for me, it's all maturity and skills thing. If we've reached a level of maturity that we can practice certain things, then yeah, you know, we'll practice with my knife, and, you know, once I feel comfortable with the idea, then we'll go ahead and we'll look into getting you a knife, or we'll look into getting you an axe, or a tomahawk. I always wanted a tomahawk. Maybe that'll be my next big gear purchase. Anyway. You know, teaching about gardening and permaculture. It's all, you know, for me, it's all kind of in passing. Because, you know, we'll talk about, you know, like whenever I got chickens. Dad, why did you get chickens? Well, have you ever seen the conditions in which they raise these animals? while we're eating chicken nuggets, okay? I'm explaining to them the idea behind factory farms and CAFOs and you know, they're like, okay, I'm not hungry anymore, Dad, thanks. Yeah, I'm that dad. I think it's pretty funny. But it's also a big teachable moment. Whenever they ask that question, and I've got the answer. Dad, why are we raising chickens? Well, have you ever seen the conditions in which they are raised in a factory? It's not a good thing. I start explaining to them all the antibiotics and antibiotic resistance and you know, they eat their own dead sometimes and all this other stuff, and they're just looking at me with this look of disgust. And I'm like, now look at my birds. Look at my birds running around out in the yard, playing with each other. I go out into the yard and I go, bah, 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 bah. And they come running to me and they snuggle up with me and they love on me and they talk to me. And the day that those animals die by my hand, they will have lived a far more fulfilled life than they would have lived in their factory farm life. They're gonna eat better. They're never gonna know what a needle feels like. They're never going to know what it's like to have their beak chopped off to stop them from pecking each other. Especially a child who has been raised in the American society, the current American society, where the narrative says that we've got to buy all this stuff, and you're not cool unless you've got this car, you're not cool unless you've got these shoes, or if you dress this way. How do you explain to those kids that it's not worth it? How do you explain to those kids that you're not the contents of your wallet? You're not your freaking khakis. How do you explain that to them? Especially when everything else around them tells them that that's what they are. If you don't dress this way, you won't be accepted. If you don't wear this makeup, you won't be pretty. I tell them these things, but like I said in an earlier podcast, my boys were physically punching and hitting each other over Pokemon cards. And they don't even know how to play the game. That makes it even more irritating. They don't even know how to play this game. And I tell them, you guys are crazy. That's all there is to it. Don't you see how ridiculous this is? How ridiculous it is that you guys are fighting over little pieces of paper that have numbers on them? Little pictures of animals that have lightning bolts for tails. I've decided that my plan of attack is to live as an example. About the only thing I can do. My one son, he's got a really short fuse, and he gets really angry, and you know, he yells. He's the one who usually starts whatever physical thing happens next. And I've grabbed a hold of his arm and dragged him outside with me. We sat underneath the big shade tree out in the side yard, and we sat there and I tried to teach him how to meditate. He's like, "Dad, it's not working." I'm like, "Yes, it is." "How do you know?" I'm like, "You're not yelling about your brothers right now." I'm like, "Well, that's because I'm not around them." Okay, well then, do that. You get yourself into a situation where you're physically fighting with your brothers, pull yourself out of the situation and go outside and go for a walk. Walk down to the end of the road and back. He's of the age and maturity level that I'm comfortable with that. Go ahead, go for a walk. Let me know that you're leaving. Say, "Dad, I'm going for a walk. Bye." And then go for a walk. That's fine. Not a big deal. example of trying to show them that, you know, and my boys aren't all wrapped up in the, you know, the identity of their clothes. You know, their clothes don't have to have names on them for them to think that they're cool. Okay, they want to be comfortable, and that's about as far as they have to go with clothing. And as long as they're comfortable, they're good. And that's me, man. I know that my 5.11 pants that I have are of a much higher quality than, you know, the ones that I got for $1 at Goodwill. You know, I bought these pants just because I needed a pair of pants. Alright, but my 5.11s, you know, those pants are awesome. They're comfortable, they're stretchy, they've got lots of pockets, they're khaki, so I can wear them as a khaki pant, kind of dressy. A lot more dressy than I normally dress. They're much better pants, and I'm not exactly interested in the name that's on them. But what I'm interested in is what they do. Are they cargo pants? Awesome. They look nice. Awesome. Do they feel good? Awesome. There's all kinds of factors that go into me purchasing clothes, and the name that's on them is nothing. And I frequent websites that that talk about the different name brand manufacturers, like 5.11. 5.11, 5.11, whatever it is that people say. Okay, I know that's in the prepper niche is a high popular company. I knew that they had good quality clothing, why I purchased it. But that one pair of pants, you know, I can wear that pair of pants in the summertime, and they're kind of airy, and they're light and stretchy, and I dig those pants, and I can wear them in the summertime. But if I was going to wear a pair of pants in the summertime, that's going to be the pair of pants that I put on me. So I teach my boys that, you know, to look at the clothes and buy the clothes for how they're made and what they're made of, and if they're comfortable, or, you know, and each person has their own opinion of what quality is to them. And if it's just got to be Abercrombie and Fitch all the time, well then, you know, you're going to have to get a job. Because I'm not buying you Abercrombie and Fitch all the time. Because, no. Where are we at? 56 minutes. I feel like I barely scratched the surface on the minimalism thing. Okay, but, you know, got a kind of a basic thing in there. You know, maybe I'll try and cover it in another episode. Okay. But, you know, just practice the camping stuff and the prepper skills, and, you know, teach your kids the garden. As far as minimalism goes, you know, don't try to teach them that there is no hole. Okay? There is no hole that needs to be filled with whatever this latest thing is. Okay, I'm on a bit of an extreme path of just be. Okay. Don't be a video gamer, don't be a prepper, don't be a minimalist, don't be anything. Just be. Okay? And that can be interpreted a lot of different ways. For me, I interpret it as I don't need a name on my t-shirt to define who I am. Okay, I'm just rich. Yeah. Hey man, I'm just rich. And I'm just trying to be. I don't need a whole lot of money to just be. I don't need a whole lot of stuff to just be. And I'm just trying to be in as minimal of a way as I possibly can. And I'm trying to teach other people to be in the same way as I am. Okay? The things that I learn, the things that work for me, that teach me to be, to just be, I want to pass along to other people. I want other people who have learned to just be to share with me. And we learn off of each other. Okay? So, you know, I share with you, you share with me, we scratch each other's backs, and we build a little bit of a tribe. I've been calling it a community, but the word tribe has come up the last couple of episodes. So, you know, I'm just trying to build a bit of a tribe and a network of people to share these ideas and skills and all that fun stuff. Okay, so until next time, I'll talk to you later, man. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.